The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
This is Ikaku Madarame from Bleach. Why aren't you listening to Nerdy Show? Unless you are.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Josh.
Hey, I'm Doug.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And today we're going to be talking about comic book movies, predominantly Marvel movies, but man, DC certainly threw us some curveballs recently, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about that certain Affleck incident. Anyway, so there's some weird Marvel stuff going on. Of course, the big Marvel movies are on the way. We don't really need to tell you much more about that. Anyway, so weird news, something that took us all by surprise, and that is that Mark Miller, the comic book author, the writer of Kick-Ass and Nemesis and a slew of stories for the big two, he is actually the head of Marvel movies over at Fox and has said recently that the X-Men films and the Fantastic Four films are in a shared universe, except that he also made a point of saying that there's absolutely no plans whatsoever to cross it over, so why even bother?
So wait, so are they not rebooting Fantastic Four?
They are rebooting Fantastic
Four. Okay, so the reboot is going to be in the X-Men universe.
Yes, not the other ones.
The other ones.
And by X-Men universe, he means like the current timeline involving the Days of Future Past and the
First
new,
Class.
And First Class, as well.
Which also does and doesn't exist in the prior universe.
Correct.
It sort of cherry-picked that reality.
Right.
I guess.
Well, I guess most people, out of all of the films, X-Men, X-Men 2, and X-Men 3, and X-Men First Class, the weakest link in that chain would arguably be X-Men 3.
Yeah.
And if you eliminate X-Men 3, all the problems are solved.
Right.
Or eliminate First Class and all the problems are solved.
Now,
Days of Future Past has also been labeled as a direct sequel to Wolverine now. Like, Fox labeled that themselves. Hmm. So now you have those two links with the two Wolverine movies also.
Except that really you only need to pay attention to the most recent Wolverine film. Because
it's X-Men Origins is like...
That's canonical.
No. They've distanced themselves, I think. Like,
I remember the moment I saw the first trailer for X-Men Origins Wolverine, and he's fighting in World War II with the Americans.
And I'm like, yeah.
You're like, and I was watching, I was like, yeah, he's fighting. And wait a minute, he's Canadian. Why is he in the American Civil War? Why is he doing any of this stuff? And
because it makes for a great shot in the trailer.
Yeah, I guess.
These colors don't run, Josh.
What, red and white?
The maple leaf don't run.
Have you guys seen seen The Wolverine?
Not yet.
Didn't see The Wolverine yet.
Okay.
I was scared because I don't need to explain why I was scared. I've heard mixed things, which is better than X-Men Origins Wolverine. Mm. So I guess it does deserve a chance.
I haven't seen it either. I really wanted to because the trailers made it look kind of good.
Mm-hmm. The trailers are good.
Hex has seen it. Unfortunately, he's not here to comment on it, but I can relay what he told me to all of you.
Okay.
Which is that it wasn't bad, but it also wasn't really anything of substance either. He watched it. He didn't feel like he wanted his money back, but it also just kind of happened. And the most exciting thing about the entire film was the post-credits sequence, which does directly tie into both whatever the hell else is going on and also...
Days of Future Past?
Here's the thing. They haven't disavowed X3. X3 is there. They're just kind of glossing over it like, yeah, some stuff happened. So, and this is, I'm going to issue a mild spoiler warning here because I'm going to tell you some things that unless you're really, truly invested in The Wolverine being the freshest experience ever, I don't think you're going to be upset over me
fresh
saying.
Fresh and radical.
Right? Yeah. I don't think you guys are going to be upset with me saying things I'm about to say. Throughout the film, Wolverine is dealing with dreams of Jean because he had to kill her.
Right.
So that's X3, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then Charles Xavier shows up at the post-credit sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, whoa, I thought you were dead.
Didn't he show up in the post-credit scene of X3?
Yeah, well, his voice did. It was like there was a coma patient, yeah. And then it's all of a sudden... I don't remember, because it's been so long since I've seen it, but I don't even remember who the girl was, the nurse who was over, like, overlooking
it. It was Moira McTaggart. At least one point it was.
I have no idea who that is, and...
from Weir Island.
Yeah, yeah.
Good job. I don't know how to say that. I don't know how...
Muir,
yeah. I guess that's the closest I can
Oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Muir Island.
So, anywho, you don't see the face of the person who's, like, in a coma, who's laying in a bed, and... all of a sudden you hear Patrick Stewart's voice call out that girl's name and she's like, "Professor?" And then it cuts to black. And then that was it. And it was like, oh, well, Xavier's not dead. Therefore, it negates his death in the film. Therefore, but
except that, like, I mean, logically, that would mean that he, because that patient had been seen earlier in the film. So all he did was push his consciousness into some vegetable's body. Therefore, it couldn't be actually Patrick Stewart as Professor Xavier. It'd have to be somebody else. But what we see in Wolverine is Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, and he couldn't put it into a vegetable unless that vegetable had the same mutation that he had.
Well, because no, he could control, like, humans.
Yeah, but he has a physical genetic mutation that gives him his powers. He could probably put his consciousness in somebody, but then if that person wakes up...
He would have zero mutant powers.
Exactly. Unless that person's
I see what you're saying. But he'd be human, he'd be a regular human who could walk, but he wouldn't have any powers.
That'd be pretty sweet, though. Yeah,
I understand.
Be pretty sweet.
But the biggest discrepancy... that I remember even just discussing after, because I liked First Class when I saw it, and I'm like, that was really cool. Good. Then someone's like, but it's not going to tie into X3. And I'm like, how's that? Because I don't really remember X3. Like, the opening of X3 is Xavier and Magneto, they go visit young Jean Grey together while they're kind of older, and Xavier can walk. And I'm like, oh, that does kind of go in the face of how First Class ended, unless they make up.
I feel like right now.
I never even thought about that.
I feel like right now they're acknowledging people's memories of X3. You've seen X3 in the past, but don't watch it again. Just kind of remember it, and we'll play up those ideas. So all the major plot points are still there. You don't have to worry about the rest.
Maybe it's fixable? I don't know. It's
unfixable.
I don't know. I mean...
I didn't hate X3, and I think the reason I didn't hate it is because, to me at least, the Dark Phoenix was actually pretty scary. You know, her eyes turned black, and like it's different than the comics, but I was like, this is a force of nature.
It was also different from every other X-Men movie.
It was different. Yeah. It was different. There are parts about it I really didn't like. Like the spoiler alert, Cyclops dies.
in five seconds.
Brutally.
Well, did you guys hear the... I don't know if it's a rumor or if it's a fact by now, but like I heard the rumor that when they were writing X3, they basically didn't have much for Wolverine to do. So from the moment Scott dies in X-Men 3, everything Wolverine does was originally Scott.
Interesting.
Because it's not in Wolverine's character to be like, listen, we're X-Men. We stick together.
It's true.
But yeah, all of a sudden, Wolverine's saying these lines, and you're like, Scott should be saying those lines.
See, that's a good point, because I think there's a great scene that they wrote in after he died, which is like the only scene that was original that was like, you know what? We could make this work. We could make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Was where Jean Grey's in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
Wolverine walks in and he starts like looking at her and like, hey, what's up? She wakes up and it's like, oh, holy crap. Like, you know, Jean Grey's awake. And she's like, hey, come here, big boy. And starts like making out with him. And he's like, oh, whoa, what's going on? She uses her psychic powers to undo his belt and it like flies across the room. And he's like, wait.
Yeah, yeah.
Where's Scott? That to me was like one of the best scenes in the movie.
Well, also, but, the other thing about Scott not being there is also because they were going to be doing Superman Returns.
Yeah, and scheduling conflicts.
And James Marsden was like, well, Superman Returns or Cyclops.
Also loyalty to
It was a very bitter divorce from what I've heard.
So I guess the conclusion is X-Men universe, even more convoluted than the actual comic books in a lot of ways for films.
Maybe. Can be.
Whereas the comics are fixable, the movie's definitely less fixable.
Didn't they reuse a character in First Class that had been in X3? It was from Mad Men. What is her name?
Oh, Emma Frost.
Yes.
Was she in X3?
Very briefly, as I recall.
She was in Wolverine.
That was in Wolverine.
X-Origins Wolverine, yeah.
It's a mess, guys. It's a real mess.
Well, see, we say the comics are fixable. I think the movies are fixable.
Well, the comics are fixable because they can use comic book logic. They can do soft reboots and sort it all out and everything because comic book audiences accept those kind of things. But film audiences, they haven't yet had to undergo that. And it's kind of happening with X-Men right now, but not by virtue of a cosmic event.
I think now's a good time to try it out on film audiences. Really, because like... let's go back, you know, in time, the Days of Future Past, like that was all that was going on with the X-Men. I don't believe there was a competing X-Men comic going on at the same time. Like it was a Marvel event. And then when it was done, they used comic book logic, hit the reset button. Age of Apocalypse, same thing. It was all completely Age of Apocalypse. We got this whole storyline worked out. This is everything that's going on with the X-Men right now. As soon as it was done, reset button. Went right back to Earth 616, they call it.
But they're not hitting the reset button between these films.
Correct.
Like, but they should. Like with this film, if they're like, everything before doesn't matter, this is just an original story using the same actors, that would be cool. But from what it sounds like, that's not what they're doing.
They also feel the need to make things an origin story, and they're starting to get away from the feeling of that need that they've had in the past.
Audiences are exhausted with that shit.
It is exhausting, because you wouldn't put up with that shit in comic books. Like, if every comic you picked up was an origin story, you get really tired after three issues.
You mean like the New 52?
Yes.
Which is exhausting and awful.
Exactly. So what they could do, like, I thought, oh man, I don't want to see another fucking origin story. I would love for them to just make like one-off sagas. If it was like a movie of Omega Red and Wolverine fighting it out with Colossus trying to get Eliana back. You know what I mean? Like, that would be... Yeah. You just make a whole movie about that, and I would go see it.
You know, the characters, you don't need to worry about the background or anything, like, you know, tying it in. You can just imagine that it does, same way that you imagine that somehow Wolverine can be in four titles simultaneously, and it works out.
Exactly.
One of the reasons for this podcast was that when we were discussing this topic of this shared universe Marvel thing online, Matt, you brought up a really interesting discussion topic.
Oh, my favorite game, right?
Yes, your favorite game.
All right, so I propose that if two of the three current Marvel comic movie making studios, Disney, Sony, and Fox, decided to team up for one crossover film, which studios do you want to come together and what film do you want to see? Knowing that there will never ever be another crossover event like this again between studios.
Sort of like the Who Framed Roger Rabbit of our generation.
Exactly like that.
That's a beautiful analogy. That's a beautiful movie.
You know, I'd have mixed feelings about all of it, but if they were like going to do one and they're like, all right, Doug, you know, you pick now or we pick. And I'll be like, I would just say mix Amazing Spider-Man, Sony version, mix that with the Avengers. They both seem the most in line tone-wise, like, than the current X-Men series. And also with Spider-Man, they didn't do anything that disavowed Avengers canon, you know? Like, it wasn't anything that, like, it didn't go out of its way to make itself different. Whereas with X-Men, I don't know, X-Men just feels so different. It's hard to see them coming together and working that way. Plus, it's also a huge ensemble mixed with another ensemble, mm-hmm. as opposed to just adding Spider-Man to the already pretty cool Avengers.
Well, you could grab just one element from Fox's, such as, I mean, Hugh Jackman and, you know, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine with Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man. Just, to me, that they would be great on screen together.
They would. But if you're just doing Iron Man and just doing Wolverine, that seems like you're missing the chance to throw Wolverine into a bigger problem with an Avengers-sized
thing. Well, I mean, he could be with the Avengers.
He's with the Avengers now.
Right. But then it's like, why not on the flip side? Why not just say, why don't we just take Tony Stark and then have him visit the Xavier Mansion, you know?
I think mine would be Doctor Doom versus all of the Avengers. But not the Doctor
the
Doom.
Shitty one.
Not
but
the shitty
but
Doctor
there's
Doom.
Only the shitty but don't one
they,
in movies.
But don't they own the rights to the Doctor Doom thing, right?
Fox does.
Yeah, Fox does. Yeah.
In fact, maybe the reason that we got the aliens we did and the Avengers, I can never remember their damn name, really obscure alien race is what, you know, what was sent out with Loki and all that in Avengers. The reason we had those guys instead of something more complicated like Skrulls was, one, complicated, but two, I've heard that maybe Skrulls are with the Fantastic Four package.
That's very possible. Hmm. I mean, Super Skrull, you know,
right?
He is Clark. The Fantastic Four. Yeah, I think Doctor Doom, because I think you could make a great, basically bring it back home. You know, you got the otherworldly.
Well, now you're going a different direction where you're like, let's take a villain from another franchise and throw him again. So if you were like, let's just say hypothetically, there's the reboot of Fantastic Four at Fox and it's kick ass and they got a great Doom. I'd be like, dude, bring in Doom versus the Avengers. That'd be the best thing ever. Or if you'd be like, oh, let's take Loki and have him versus the X-Men. Like, that'd be interesting,
that'd
but it'd
be cool.
It'd be weird a little bit.
The thing that plucks my heartstrings about the Doom versus the Avengers thing is, in my personal opinion, the most kick-ass thing that Doom ever did, if it was adapted to film, it would be a three-studio tie-in, which is not part of Matt's rules. It was when Dr. Doom created symbiote bombs that he dropped from satellites on New York City and there was just crazy shit like symbiote dinosaurs and random people were getting turned into symbiotes and it was complete havoc. And Doom was like, ha, 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 ha.
What was his goal with that?
Shouldn't have trespassed in Latveria.
there was some kind of, it was like a diversion or it was, there was some, I cannot remember for the life of me. I just remember thinking,
okay, this is like, this is balls to the wall, like a stupid like kid came up with it kind of a thing, but it's so cool.
It's like, sir, we need a diversion for our master plan. How about we just kill a million people with the symbiote? It's like, that's a diversion or is that a battle? It's like, well, okay, it's a battle.
See, my favorite Doom thing was when the Fantastic Four literally opened a gate to hell and left him there. And he's like, all right, well.
Mark Waid's Fantastic Four, best run ever.
Exactly. He's like, guess I'm in hell now. And demons are like, I want his nose. I want his eyes. And he's like, then come for me, demons. There is doom enough for all. And then he fought his way out of hell and grabbed onto the wake of Mjolnir as Thor died during Ragnarok and skated out between dimensions.
Yeah, I was like, didn't Thor's hammer play a part in that? Like, he had Thor's hammer or something like that?
No, Thor's hammer fell, and he's like, it got me out of hell. Clearly, it's mine. And then he goes to pick it up, and he can't. And he's like, ah, screw you, Fantastic Four.
That him getting back was weird, but Marvel didn't like anything that Mark Waid did during that run. So it's all been disavowed, like Galactus's origin, which was great.
Yeah.
Disavowed, so.
See, I don't know. I think when he reaches down to pick up that hammer, I thought, here we go. Like, this is, if Thor dies and the most worthy person on Earth is Dr. Doom,
there's
a comic I want to read.
Yeah. Marvel's ballsy enough to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't then. It was only a few years ago, but they weren't then.
So Mark Millar, the head of, now the head of Marvel's movies in Fox.
Yeah. Which is weird. We were all surprised by that. That's super strange. I guess, you know, Marvel needs to have a kick-ass personality overseeing Fox's stuff, so...
No pun intended.
A manic Scottish comic book writer.
I don't know how much attention he can actually devote to it, considering how much stuff he does, but...
It's true.
I guess they've accepted, you know, well, if we can't publish these films ourselves, they better at least not suck and ruin our properties.
It's true. Well, the thing I think he's got going for him is that Marvel really likes him because they let him get away with whatever he wants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wrote Old Man Logan, which if you guys haven't read it, it's maybe one of the single best graphic novels.
Like standalone.
Standalone ever written, because it pulls no punches with the Marvel Universe. Like when it starts, people have already died forever.
And they don't come back.
They do not come back.
Anyone who starts dead doesn't come back.
Exactly. And then he went to DC with the idea of making Batman a supervillain for like a one-off, you know, graphic novel.
And DC is like, oh no.
He's like, Batman wants to destroy the USA. The only person standing in his way is Commissioner Gordon. And
Batman's
like,
only a good guy.
And they're like, that's dumb. We don't like that.
Like things that are different.
As anybody who I've told that premise to, like, loses their minds and says it's the coolest idea ever. But he couldn't pitch to DC, so he goes to Marvel and says, hey, I've got this really violent idea of Batman going up against Commissioner Gordon. They go, change the names, we'll publish it under our independent label.
I honestly think it's stronger for being its own thing as Nemesis, but...
Could be. I don't know.
I'm sure once it became its own thing, he changed a lot of stuff to make it stronger.
It's true.
Whereas if you took the initial concept and just made it, what if Batman just didn't have that moral compass and he was just super dick number one?
But now that guy's in charge of the Marvel movies.
He's in charge of two franchises, one which is massive and one which is kind of minuscule by comparison.
And it's weird because I remember like when I first read Old Man Logan, I remember being like, oh man, if they just made a movie of this with Hugh Jackman and age makeup, or just wait for him to get older and just do Old Man Logan with Hugh Jackman, that'd be like the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Or if Clint Eastwood was
20 years younger.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. It'd be perfect. But that begs the question, are we more likely to see an Old Man Logan movie with him at the helm? Can we start a letter writing campaign?
I would certainly say it's more likely. Because, I mean, if you got the guy...
Definitely 1,000 times more likely.
More than it was before.
But is it more likely than the zero chance it was before?
Before it was zero.
Has it skipped up a few 0.00 decimal places?
It's like it was zero, and now it's like one out of a million. It's like, so you're telling me there's a chance? I read you. Like, you know, this...
I would love to see a hyper-violent Wolverine movie. The world is horrible. Wolverine's a farmer, and they have to get across America.
Yeah, that's what you're describing.
I just want it. I want it so bad.
He's prolific. He's a prolific guy. I guess back to the initial question, Matt, you posed the question. What would you do with that three studio standoff?
I think probably I'd lean as far as just because I love Hugh Jackman as Wolverine so much. I would love to see him with that Avengers cast. That's probably where I would go with it. However, being more, I guess, media outside the comics influenced, I would say that, as I recall, the Fantastic Four had a lot to do with, or indirectly anyway, with Maximum Carnage.
Hmm.
I just remember that breaking into the Fantastic Four like headquarters in order to steal anti-symbiote weapon.
Like sonic weapons and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, the idea of if they ever got to the level, there would never be Carnage in a Spider-Man film, especially in this series. It's just, it's too much. But if I had to mix two properties. It would be cool if it was somehow Fantastic Four and Maximum Carnage.
That's a good point. I'd love to see an Identity Crisis movie with the Spider-Man.
Dude, if they just made a Spider-Man movie with Carnage in it and just called it Maximum Carnage, do you know how fast tickets would sell?
I mean, do you think that they could do a Carnage film without Venom setting that up?
I wouldn't risk it. Like, if I was in charge and they're like, hey, we want to do Carnage, I'd be like, that's great, but we got to bring in Venom first. Just because if you leap to Carnage without doing Venom, you're going to confuse a lot of people.
You're missing out on the Venom dollar bills.
Yeah.
The Venom market. It's really good.
Well, Spider-Man 3 had a huge opening weekend because of Venom.
Well, yeah, and it's the problem, too, is everybody knows Venom's, like, the biggest deal. Even parents who don't know anything about Spider-Man have
seen pictures.
And they're like, this guy's a pretty big deal. He's going to be the movie. And then Eddie Brock was not in the movie.
Right.
What was in the movie was a better Peter Parker.
Yeah. Topher Grace would have been an amazing Peter Parker.
I thought he was wonderful in that film. He was one of the only successful things about that movie.
He was a great Peter Parker. I thought he was wonderful, snarky.
Who do you think, either in a future incarnation or if you were to go back in time and replace, who would make a really good Eddie Brock? Eddie Brock.
That's tough because he's supposed to be like an Olympic athlete.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But he's a photographer.
The thing is, Eddie Brock is a shitty character. You know who's my favorite Venom? My favorite Venom is Flash Thompson.
I would love to see that film.
It is a whole other thing, but that depends on whether or not the studios would like to market Venom as an anti-hero rather than, like, because Venom becomes an anti-hero, but he has to be a monster first.
Right.
But I really like Eddie Brock as a character only because, like, he's this big buff dude who's a big bully to Spider-Man. What's important about him is that he's not a monster, even though he, like, literally is a monster. He only just hates Spider-Man. And
he doesn't want to take over the world.
Later on, Collateral Damage happens, and he feels really bad about it. And then, like, Spider-Man saves his ex-wife, and he becomes Venom Lethal Protector, and he's like, I will do good, too. And he just terrifies everybody he tries to help.
Like, that aspect of it is really cool. Like, I think that's really great.
There's good potential to make that a film.
Who would play
That's a really good question.
Because I liked the idea that they were trying to take where it's like, oh, Eddie Brock is just an anti-Peter Parker.
See, I would leave off the mullet. I would take the mullet away.
Well, you know, with Topher Grace, they were like, oh, he's just like Peter Parker, but he's just the opposite. Oh, like, we're opposites or whatever. That's cool. But if you're going, like, just big guy who's totally different from Peter.
Like, he's not dumb, but he's not Peter Parker. He's not quick with the wit. And Peter Parker gives him some sass and he's like, well, shut up, you jerk.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's more interesting to me. I think of big people. I think of, like, Jason Momoa. You know, but
I think
but
of, I don't Dwayne think of Johnson, but he wouldn't.
The Rock is as Eddie Brock would be.
It would be different.
He put the Rock in Eddie Brock.
I think we got to give Josh a point for that.
I would love. No, you nailed it. Yeah. Dwayne the Rock Johnson as Eddie Brock would be amazing.
It'd be good. It'd be very different, though, just because there's always, like, we haven't really seen him go bad.
I would love to. I can't. Now, yeah, I'm 100% behind that. I want The Rock to play Eddie Brock.
I feel like in the studio question, you know, there's a lot of things I could do that would indulge me personally, but I feel like the most logical thing for them to do is to put Spider-Man in an Avengers film. That's just straight up the smartest thing they could do, because they want these movies to be, you know, they want them to stay around PG-13, and Wolverine being in the Avengers to this day in the comics, they love him being in there, but there's a certain caveat. Everybody's always bringing, this other guy's a murderer here. You know, this guy's a murderer. Like, he keeps coming up.
Well, in the movie version, if I were to go see an Avengers movie and Wolverine and Hugh Jackman Wolverine shows up, I'd be like, oh, great to have you on the team. And he's like, I don't play well with the groups, but that's all I ever do.
Avengers.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, there's a big cataclysmic event happening. Good thing Wolverine's here, but man, we're really getting our ass kicked. Wolverine, do you know any, like, other people who could possibly help and join us? Nah, they're busy. You know,
they're children.
Yeah, it just raises that question of, like, where's the other X-Men? If it's a world-ending event, wouldn't the X-Men come out?
But if it's Spider-Man, he's a superhero. He's operating well under the Avengers level radar.
Yeah. Right.
Except for their fucking Hawkeye and Black Widow.
The drama would come in where it's like, it's a cataclysmic event is happening. And they're like, Spider-Man, do you know anyone who can help? No, and I can't help either.
I'm out of my element.
Like, yeah, I beat up muggers and, like, jewelry thieves. I punch people in the face and then they go to the hospital. They don't die. You know, it's like there's a whole other thing of Spider-Man being out of his element. But in the Avengers, it's almost like he's the more relatable person at that point.
See, if you combine the X-Men and the Fantastic Four movies with Spider-Man, you could do Secret Wars, which would be pretty cool.
True.
And then you could introduce the black costume in this version of Spider-Man. And that would be a much better introduction for it than in the third Spider-Man movie, which was just, there it is.
I was so disappointed with just how it arrives on Earth.
The thing that's always frustrated me endlessly about that is that Sam Raimi was, you know, vehemently like anti-Venom, right?
Then he shouldn't have done it, though. They pressured him into doing it.
He shouldn't have done it. But then the weird thing is, the way the symbiote shows up in the comics is in the biggest ultimate comic book brawl sort of like could never happen on film sort of way. The way they did it in the animated series of Spider-Man,
it was pretty good.
Was really genius of J. Jonah Jameson's son being an accomplished astronaut and accidentally bringing it back with him on a historic Mars mission.
And he's in the movies,
that's the thing. And it seemed like Sam Raimi, even though he hated Venom, was inexplicably setting it up in the second film.
My son, the astronaut. Like he had him say that, and I was like, so when they said in the sequel, he's like, my son's getting married. My son, the astronaut, and I'm like, oh sweet, they're going that route. And then like just announced Spider-Man 3, Venom's going to be it. I'm like, fucking A, like that. That's the way the astronaut thing, like, of course it's going to play. It's from outer space. He's an astronaut. Maybe it comes down with him. Maybe we get that awesome crash scene from the animated series,
which is one of the coolest things they ever did.
Ever did on that entire show.
Miss Brandt, don't open the caviar.
Yeah. But and that would have been so freaking cool. But then it's just like, I'm waiting for it in the opening of the movie. And then just a little meteor just slants like feet away, and I'm like, well, that's a coincidence. And then it's like oh well, he's driving away, like maybe it was just to show, I don't know. And then he's driving away and just sticks to his backpack or whatever. I'm like, oh Sam, what'd they do to you?
The problem too is they had a really good Sandman movie on their hands,
yeah,
that didn't need Green Goblin or Venom.
Yeah,
like it didn't need either of those people to be in it. And it would have been really good because you like that's where all the emotion in that entire story is.
I hate when people shit on their artwork. It doesn't make sense.
Well, he just got pressured into doing it from the studio. The same way that Tim Burton got pressured with Batman Returns.
What did he get pressured with that? I mean, he got to do so much of what he wanted to. They kicked him off of it.
Oh, no, that's true. It's true. Well, here's the thing. From what I understand, he didn't really want to incorporate, I think it was Catwoman. And he wanted to focus mostly on the Penguin.
I love that Catwoman.
But he did such a good job.
That's the thing. They're like, no, you got to put Catwoman in. He goes, well, I didn't really think about it, but if I got to do it, I'll do it my way. And they're like, yeah, whatever, man, just do it. And then he did it his way. And then they're like, you're stupid, Tim. You know, you ruined everything.
You made McDonald's mad at us, Tim.
Exactly. Yeah. But it, you know, but it was fine. Like I thought it was fine. But
this movie made money, and we hate you.
But if they just would let him do what he wanted to do in the first place, and not include Catwoman, just because fans like Catwoman, you know, I don't know. It could have been different.
Is Batman Returns the like sort of did that movie like sort of establish the dual antagonist?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first.
Yeah, okay. Pretty much.
Absolutely. Probably.
There's even that scene in Spider-Man 3. So it's like in Batman Returns, it's like, listen, you hate the bat. I hate the bat. Let's join forces.
And he's just like, bringing Bane in Batman Returns. What are you doing?
So that was just the sexy Catwoman, but I can't do it. So, but then in Spider-Man 3, you got Eddie Brock on the wall. It's just in an alleyway, happens to meet Sandman. It's like, I hate the spider. You hate the spider. Let's join forces and hate the spider together. Like,
I have four friends.
I don't know. Like even in Batman and Robin,
they have half of the Sinister Six in that movie.
Yeah,
they didn't spring for the other three.
Yeah, yeah. But even in Batman and Robin, it's just like, oh, you hate the Batman. I hate the Batman. I want plants to take over the world. You want to freeze the world. We make a great team.
No,
I don't.
Not even a little.
Also,
bit.
I've got Bane too.
A surprise.
Yeah.
Bomb.
I had the dumbest revelation the other day. I was reading Batman 66, the new comic that's in the Adam West continuity, and which is so true to its actual source material that I almost can't stand it. Like I just
really,
I cringe. It's great, but it's so perfect that it makes me uncomfortable because the show makes me uncomfortable.
Oh, I love the show for totally different reasons.
And then the second issue has Mr. Freeze in it, and I'm like, he's German. God damn it. That's why Arnold. Oh, fuck. Why did I never see this before?
They knew this ahead of time. They had it all planned.
I really hope that with that new comic where they're exploring 60s Batman, they figure out what a 60s Bane would be.
That would be awesome.
Like if it was just like,
he's going to be fucking racist is what he's going to be.
He's going to be the first luchador. That's what he's going to be.
Yeah. Just make him like a luchador. But of course, you know, you can't. How do you give him a Spanish accent? You just add the accent on the word.
The same way they made Mr. Freeze German in the comic.
Oh, just bastardize the spelling or whatever. Like, yeah.
Okay, so weird Marvel news tidbits. I got a couple. First things first, we got some behind-the-scenes photos from Guardians of the Galaxy that have leaked.
Ooh.
With Michael Rooker as Yondu. I don't know who Yondu is.
I don't know who Yondu is.
I'm not familiar.
So I'm going to look up Yondu right now.
If it ain't Rocket Raccoon, I'm not interested.
I got some Rocket Raccoon news.
Do we have any renders yet of Rocket Raccoon? I've seen some concept art.
I saw a concept render,
yeah,
but that was just about it.
Oh, Yondu's that guy.
Oh, that guy.
Yondu's that guy that looks like a kind of a fish man with a mohawk, sort of like Gladiator from the Shi'ar Imperial Guard.
Sort of like the dragon from Image.
Sort of like that one Green Lantern.
He looks a lot like Gladiator.
Yeah, he looks like a Gladiator Savage Dragon mashup. We'll link to where you can see a picture of him.
So he's in the movie?
He's in the movie, apparently, and that explains why.
Is he a good guy or bad guy?
According to Wikipedia, he was actually a founding member of the original Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm more familiar with the modern Abnett and Lanning Guardians, which the film is based on, but apparently he's in it, and that explains why the mohawk that Rooker's wearing looks kind of weird, because I guess they're going to CGI that big crazy mohawk in there.
Awesome.
And Rocket Raccoon related news, Bradley Cooper is being sought to voice Rocket Raccoon, and they're in early negotiations. That's what totally official.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, it could be cool. He's got a decent voice for it, I think.
Well, Rocket Raccoon's supposed to be, what, Cockney, right? Like,
wait, Cockney or just cocky?
I think he's just cocky.
You guys played, well, because I don't know, because I've always read it, he has like a very thick accent in the books, you know what I mean? He's got a dialect. And then when we played Marvel vs. Capcom 3, he's like, that's for letting Raccoon City fall, you wanker! You know, he's very...
I have never read Rocket as Cockney. That's amazing. Oh. I would love to read Rocket as Cockney, but I guess we're not going to get a Cockney Rocket right now.
Let's say that a few more times.
Then you got to get Tom Hardy just to read his voice from...
See, I want
Charles Bronson. Have him just do his Charles Bronson impression as Rocket Raccoon.
I kill no one!
What I like about Cooper, the idea of Cooper doing it, is that he's got a good, nice... voice, mm-hmm. a sexy kind of man voice, which means that they're treating Rocket mm-hmm. respectfully.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like they're willing to let him be silly, but also take himself seriously. And right. he's a comedy actor, so he understands.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't just like, oh, let's just get someone tough sounding to be in it. You're like, wow, I can't really see
Bruce
that.
Willis is Rocket Raccoon.
Like, well, right, admittedly. Right.
Actually, that would be pretty cool.
He did the talking baby, you know. So
that's true. Who's talking now?
Yeah, look who's talking.
Look who's talking.
Look who's talking too.
And then look who's talking now.
The third one,
which
I'm not sure he was even in that one.
No, he wasn't in that one.
I don't think so.
The other piece of news is that Marvel is, quote, keen on Elizabeth Olsen for the Scarlet Witch. That's the younger Olsen sister, and the deal is in final stages.
They could just cast both of them.
Choose the form of your destroyer.
Then switch back and forth and save some money.
She doesn't have anything on her resume that's really noteworthy for a nerd acid test yet, mm-hmm. except that she's going to be in Godzilla.
Hmm. Good.
So
I could see her getting chewed up by a big lizard. I don't know. The Olsen twin. I don't know what she looks like. She's the one with the creepy older boyfriend. Is that the
I don't know.
Wait, wasn't the Olsen twins somehow... One of the Olsen twins was somehow involved in Heath Ledger's passing?
Yeah, he died in one of their apartments.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was nice. They let him stay with him.
Oh, yeah. And other thing about Elizabeth Olsen, she's in the Old Boy remake. Oh,
that's
Western
right.
remake.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. Well, it's high time we had a musical break. Let's cut to some brand new Word Burglar. His full Welcome to Cobra Island album has been released. So here's Venomous Ideology with a beat by NATO. While this record has a free download, you could also purchase the whole physical CD with a special insert for $13. We'll link to where you can do that, of course, on this episode's page. Here's some new Wordberg, Venomous Ideology.
Simple fool like my brother, who fought in their wars in exchange for a drinking problem and a loss of support. Not anymore. They found his body spread across the highway, head on collision with some family who couldn't drive straight. Irate, I lost the American dream. Went from selling used cars to running pyramid schemes, hoodwinking investors. That's where I got my first taste. Recruited like mines, we met on Thursdays, cause money buys weapons and very good lawyers. Next thing you know, I got an island plus some tank destroyers. I must be doing something right, is what I told myself. Kidnapping presidents, throw them in the holding cells. See, I'm like no one else, a rattle charmer. Going to work in helmets, hoods, and battle armor. I'm a
brainwashed you bleeding hearts and hippies. Carved my face in the moon so you'll never forget me. Put mind control in everything, perfume to chewing gum. Psychos and maniacs, I'm always interviewing some new members. Man, haven't you heard? That's my accountant. He's the one dressed like a bird. I turn your town around till you're living like royalty. And all I ask is nothing but unquestioning loyalty. I'm the man, the mask, the myth, the urban legend, the snake in the grass that you're never sure where I'm heading. I'll be the vermin you're fretting, certain you're nervous and sweating from the way I earn my rep with less conservative weapons.
Our old enemy, Cobra Commander.
Got an appetite for destruction.
Five forces in your gravity with fly orders.
Operation Crush, planet Earth, right palm.
I got burning ambition and a venomous ideology. A thing for snakes and cutting edge high technology. My economy, diamonds to ruples. And my philosophy, who needs scruples? Morality, ethics, those are just a curse to carry. If I got any problems, got a Rolodex of mercenaries to hurt and bury. I'm trying to keep the hate alive. No, I'm not crazy, just dangerously destabilized. It pays to lie. Truth is, whatever I say to guys, anything I don't like, I vaporize. Robots with laser eyes, zap your mom while she's baking pies. I'm Cobra Commander, exactly what the name implies. Take the prize for charismatic, sociopathic words. Hook you like some opium addicts. You're lonely and tragic, time to get open to havoc. Running rackets for whatever helps the scope of my ravage. To cope with the madness, you gotta be a bit nutty. I just wanna rule the globe, I'm not that fussy. Complete chaos, corporation layoffs. Labor from your neighbors doing favors for some payoffs. Make you quit your day jobs, stick it to your lame boss. Aiming for your veins, engrave my name in your brain. Insane plots, that's what I consider mad fun. I love ideas, especially the bad ones.
I'm the man, the mask, the myth, the urban legend, the snake in the grass that you're never sure where I'm heading. I'll be the vermin you're fretting, certain you're nervous and sweating from the way I earn my rep with less conservative weapons.
Our old enemy, Cobra Commander.
Got an appetite for destruction.
Big five forces in your gravity with fly orders.
Operation Crush, planet Earth, right palm.
I got some weird-ass Marvel news you guys might have heard. Have you guys heard of the Marvel Experience?
No.
I have not.
Okay. Starting in 2014, Marvel and a new company called Hero Ventures are starting an interactive traveling experience called the Marvel Experience, featuring, quote, dozens of Marvel's iconic superheroes, an attraction that will appeal to a multi-generational audience and will leverage state-of-the-art interactive and multimedia technology, including a 4D motion ride and original 3D animated features, allowing fans to be a part of the action. This new company, this Hero Ventures company, has like a ton of money behind it, like people behind WWE and the guy who co-owns the New York Giants, Roy Disney, and a bunch of film producers and stuff. And they are actually creating this unique arena for it to be in that's the size of 2 football fields.
Well, what?
Yeah.
Holy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where the fuck they're going to stage this thing. But
I mean, it sounds like it's Disney, you know, it does. Marvel.
Is this like a World's Fair, but with just Marvel themed is what it seems like? Like,
I don't know. I've got a couple more press release descriptions here that kind of shed some light on what's going on. Marvel Experiences is a first-person superhero adventure in which audiences step into the Marvel Universe to become a part of the story and the action. In addition to the 4D motion ride and 3D animated features, other components will include digitally projected animation, motion comic origin stories, virtual reality, and holographic simulations.
Is Mysterio building it?
Or Arcade?
It's a giant dome.
You walk inside Mysterio's dome, and you're going to see things and hear things, and they're not really there. Although, the idea of a giant dome, now...
It's the Mojoverse.
Yeah, it's Mojo... Oh, that would be amazing. Like, if they called it Mojoverse, you'd have me day one, and every day thereafter.
A giant dome makes me wonder. And it's like, you said giant dome, 3D projections... 4D experience. Are they going to do a thing where it's like you go inside the dome and they're going to project the dome to just look like like if it's at night, they'll project it to look like the night sky, and then Iron Man's gonna fly over and do a battle in the sky, or a portal's gonna open and Thanos comes out, and like that is really cool. Because if it's like if they're really pushing the idea of like you're gonna be in the Marvel universe, you're gonna be experiencing these things. Well, that's what I want. Then I want to look up in the sky, you know, air quotes the sky, and see a battle happen where I'm on the ground and be caught in the middle of it.
Doug, I feel that that's what this press release is describing.
Because why else? And the reason I go there is because why else would it need to be that big? If it's just like a 4D ride where you go, everyone takes turns, they wait in line, and they go on a ride. Mm. Why do you need a dome the size of two football fields?
What I read this as is I read it as a fuck you to Universal Studios.
Right.
Yeah. As like, well, we can't get our licensing back, so we're going to do this thing no one's ever done before. And what if we just tour with a theme park?
That's a massive undertaking. I couldn't even begin to imagine the logistics of touring something like that.
The thing is, two football fields is big. It's not super big, but it's big.
It's bigger than Cirque du Soleil,
but
which is the only thing I can compare it to for a traveling exhibit.
Right. And so what I'm trying to think is one of my problems with these events where it's like, oh, you're going to help Spider-Man, you know, like in the Spider-Man ride and stuff. And he's like, hey, don't worry, I'll get you out of this. And then Doc Ock, Spider-Man. And then, like, that's cool. And you're like, oh, I get to see Spider-Man do his thing. Mm. If this is an interactive experience, I want to be Spider-Man. No, I want to be Iron Man. I want to do all of those things that they do. No kid cares about being the kid that Thor saves. You know, they want to be Thor.
It does sound like they are setting us up to be the same collateral damage that we've always been in these theme park experiences.
Now, if they change it to being that you, like, it's Heroverse, it's an interactive 4D experience. You pick your superhero and you get that experience out of the superhero. That's something, because it sounds like all the descriptions are descriptions you'd use if I asked you to describe this video game. These are all things that you would say to me. Oh, it's very interactive. You get to experience the world in which this happens and this happens. But you are the hero.
Well, you know, the first problem, like if I was designing, I'd be like, well, the first problem is like, well, that's a great idea. But what happens when on one particular day, 90% of the people just want to be Spider-Man?
Then 90% of the people are Spider-Man. You get the individual experience.
I guess. Then you have to figure out, well, what kind of experience is it then?
Like, well, they do like Star Tours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The new Star Tours they designed so that each time you go on it, the planets you go to are different.
Yeah.
Let's say, you know, all these people want to be a Spider-Man. They want to do this. They want to do that. I'm sure there's a way to do it.
This thing also describes that it will have original merchandise, of course, and integrated social media touch points, of course, but carefully woven into the rich narrative storyline.
Sounds gutsy.
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is gutsy. It's $30 million plus gutsy. The CEO, Rick Litch, says the dynamic creative elements were developing.
CEO is a lich.
Yes.
Awesome.
He's hanging out with Mephisto. You will sign a waiver when you go in here, and it may not just be standing.
The reason why you become part of the Marvel Universe is because you have to give him your soul.
Yeah, and he's got a special orb that when you're in there with whatever he makes. Yeah. Part of which is Marvel. The rest is Eternal Torch.
The dynamic creative elements we're developing are going to enable anyone to feel like a superhero, like Spider-Man or Captain America.
Okay, so...
That's gotta be it.
That's and then a bunch of like you know, just rhetoric about that's the only like telling thing is that, you know, maybe you'll be more than a spectator, but I really think
you just walk up to a thing and you just choose what powers you want. Like I remember one of the rumors was that originally for the Harry Potter attraction, they wanted you, if you bought a wand, there'd be a computer chip in the wand that would remember where you go in the park and what you do, and if you move, it would be motion sensitive. So like if you're going through a maze that's made to look like part of Hogwarts, you go to a certain wall and you move the wand a certain way and you say a certain word because there's a microphone in that room, then the wall opens and you get a secret video of Dumbledore being like, good job, you did it. And but if you leave Universal and you keep your wand because you bought it, it'll remember everything you did. So if you go back a year later, they go, welcome student, we haven't seen you in a year, you know, that type of level of customized,
which is entirely possible because Disney's already got a very early version of that, several renditions of it at different parks, and sort of a detective game they got going on.
But
so
the idea there that you are your own wizard in the Harry Potter universe.
Yeah.
So if you're doing like, I'm my own superhero in the Marvel universe, or do you want to be bitten by a spider, or do you want to be born a mutant, you know, or whatever.
Put your hand in this jar of spiders.
One of them is radioactive. Take a gamble.
I wasn't thinking that as much as like, you would choose your origin of your power, and then you go and you do your thing. But this is all crazy.
Do you want us to kill your parents?
I like this a lot.
Cap, did you see the Marvel news that preceded that announcement though from Disney?
No.
That they are introducing a Thor attraction in Disneyland?
I know that they are putting in an exhibit in Disneyland related. I didn't read the article, but I assumed that I gleaned what I could from it, that it was basically an exhibit of props from the most recent Thor film at Disneyland. Is there more to that?
Yeah, because they're saying that Thor will be the first costumed Marvel character to be part of Disney.
Okay, I don't. Oh, all right. Yeah.
Okay.
They're doing an Avengers Academy, kind of like the Jedi Academy.
Did they do a Jedi Academy attraction there? I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, that was actually years ago. I mean, they're still doing it, but it's a little thing. You know, kids get brought up on stage and they teach them how to do force powers and, you know, the lightsaber combat and things like that. And then Vader comes out and they force push him away.
Okay, yeah, I have heard of that.
They still do the Jedi Academy at Star Wars Weekends at MGM, or excuse me, Hollywood Studios.
Here's an interesting tidbit of Marvel things that I noticed. Anybody here else familiar with Planet Hulk and World War Hulk?
Totally, yeah.
Okay, so obviously the best costume superhero run that has lasted for quite a while has been the Hulk series very recently. It was phenomenal. In the newest Thor trailer, at the end, there's a giant stone guy that comes out and Thor kills him. That stone guy is the same race of Thor's number one general.
Shut the fuck up.
Look at the picture. Like, watch the trailer, and I swear to you.
You're completely right.
Korg is the general. So, but for those of you not who don't know about Planet Hulk and World War Hulk, that's a huge deal, because that means they may be considering doing Planet Hulk and World War Hulk, and eventually maybe Scar, Son of Hulk. And those comics are amazing.
I didn't read Planet Hulk, so to me, the stone guy was just a stone guy that Thor's like, anyone else want to fight? And I'm like, oh, Thor.
The stone guy that comes down, basically, a bunch of them get stuck as gladiators on this planet, and Hulk frees them, and one of them is his top general. He tells a story of the worst fight he ever faced, and he doesn't know who the person he's fighting in, but when you're reading it, it's Thor. And Thor just kills like his people as they're just trying to like settle the planet.
So even in Planet Hulk, he's explaining fighting Thor in the past?
Yeah. Yes.
That's fucking crazy.
I can't believe that. I did not. Josh, thank you.
I didn't remotely glean that. Sorry, that was a huge deal. I remember I went to go.
That is the coolest thing they have ever done so far Marvel movies.
No, so holy shit. It hints that they might be doing a Planet Hulk movie, and I would crap my pants twice. Because if they do it, man,
I'm just gonna sit on a bucket the whole time.
Yeah, it's so good. It would be amazing, but it would be so expensive because nobody's human. There are no humans in Planet Hulk.
It's basically a Pixar film at that point.
I mean, and they've done an animated Planet Hulk film, which I hear is pretty good.
It is pretty good. They replaced Silver Savage, which is the Silver Surfer, with Beta Ray Bill, and that's not a bad choice. Beta Ray Bill is scary.
Beta Ray Bill is harder to explain.
Yeah, they don't even try. Like, really. They're just like, it's Beta Ray Bill, and he's like, I've heard tales of your rage, Hulk, and then he...
Well, now, Silver Surfer, where does he currently reside? In the movie universe.
Oh, he's over with Fantastic Four.
Yeah. So why is Silver Surfer under the umbrella of Fantastic Four and not his own thing?
Because he's the Herald of Galactus, and Fantastic Four and Galactus face off more than anybody else in Galactus. Mm-hmm. He was part of the package. Shit. Remember that amazing trailer for the second Fantastic Four film?
The one that got me super excited.
Yeah, the one that made me go, wow, maybe it's really going to be kick-ass.
Yeah, where I was like, oh, that horrible Doctor Doom movie they made. This there's no way this can make up for it. And then he drops Joni Storm from space.
Yeah.
I was 100% on board.
And then they had Doug Jones play the Silver Surfer, and he even did the voice of the Silver Surfer. And then they're like, we need someone more famous, and the Silver Surfer needs a recognizable voice. Let's get Lawrence Fishburne. And I like Lawrence Fishburne, and he's got a cool voice, but I wanted to hear Doug Jones' voice. Like, dude is always in a costume, and he's always like whatever.
He voiced Abe Sapien. Like, they let him keep his voice.
Only in the second film.
You're right.
And he did good.
He's in Fallout Nuka Break.
It was just such a missed opportunity. I mean, I agree, but of course, that's the whole story of the Fantastic Four films. Missed opportunity.
Yeah, it quite literally missed opportunity when they turned Galactus into a cloud.
Yeah, what the fuck? Yeah, you know, I remember someone, like, when they just announced Galactus is going to make an appearance in the new Fantastic Four movie. And they showed a screenshot, which I didn't know at the time was from the Marvel Ultimate Alliance game or whatever. Or was it some other, game where it was just a giant Galactus, like, photorealistic, reaching through the clouds over a city. And I'm like, that's fucking awesome. And then I was expected to see that in the film. And of course, that's not the case.
All the cinematics are done by Blur.
Right.
And there's just this part where they're like, Uatu is explaining things they're going to have to do. And then you see, you see the city that's torn apart on an alien landscape, and Galactus takes two steps and like looks to the left, and it's the most crazy, real, scary version that you've ever seen. I'd played this before they announced that movie, and I was like, oh my God.
You could do
like,
it. Yeah,
it's going to
yeah.
be good. If Silver Surfer's in it, Galactus is in it, and if it's that Galactus, I think they may have just been
afraid to show Galactus because they think he looks cartoony.
Filmmakers are afraid, or at least studios anyway, not probably not filmmakers, studios are afraid of cosmic entities. Because Parallax had a very similar fate to Galactus in the Green Lantern film.
Yeah, just a cloud. Just now, like this.
He was a way cooler cloud than Galactus.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But he was still a fucking cloud.
Yeah.
What up with that? I mean, because Parallax, like the actual entity, is awful. He's a terrifying fucking monster.
Yeah, it's a crazy, like, not even a fixed.
Like a predator roach from hell.
It's terrible.
Something about a giant humanoid thing with that helmet and shit. Even though, like, some might be like, ah, oh, that's cartoony looking. Well, when you see a photorealistic version of it, and he's, like, destroying worlds, and he just doesn't have any look of remorse or worry in his face, there's something very unsettling about that.
It makes you feel like an ant.
That's the point. It makes you feel worse. Instead, it's just a cloud. It's like, oh, it's a poisonous cloud going to swallow up the planet, which is, you know, terrible, but it's just not the same.
Yep.
And he's an alien, so you can... He can wear a goofy hat. Who cares? You know, it's like
the Pope wears a hat.
The Pope got a goofy hat. Everyone thinks it's fine.
Let's conclude on a very sour note. DC announced that Ben Affleck is the new Batman.
See, now here's the thing.
I'm going to be contrarian on this one.
Okay.
Well, maybe
everybody's going to be contrarian.
No. Because first of all, when I heard the news, I thought that was someone trolling, just being like, ah, Ben Affleck or whatever.
We all thought that.
And then I see it more and more and more. And my reaction was, he may not be the best choice, but I have no idea why everyone's freaking out.
People are saying, like, you ruined Batman. Like, this, you can't come back.
Okay, well, if we know anything, no man can ruin Batman. Because it hasn't been ruined yet. It's like, it got close with several movies, but you can't ruin Batman. So, don't worry, everyone. Batman is safe. Like, nothing's going to destroy Batman.
I think the problem is that when you cast for Batman, you're not casting for Batman. You're casting for Bruce Wayne. And I think, I don't know. I haven't seen The Town. I heard it was great.
Mm-hmm. Gone Baby Gone.
I didn't see Gone Baby Gone either, but I did see Argo. And he has a level of command over these people in this movie that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, but it's still not a... I was looking for clips of Ben Affleck earlier today.
I mean, Argo is an amazing film.
Yeah.
Argo is incredible. And it's great that it's as good as it is with Ben Affleck being the lead character.
A lot of people give Ben Affleck shit. I
don't know what you guys are going to think, but I'm going to say it's... did anyone here see Hollywoodland?
No.
Ben Affleck played George Reeves in Hollywoodland. And he's in the Superman suit in Hollywoodland, portraying George Reeves in the Superman suit. I honestly think he would make a great Superman. Like, he would make a...
Superman.
I know. I'm just like, he would make a great Superman, because, I mean, he did great in the film. But I think he'd make a great Superman. So, it stands to reason, well, why does he make a great Superman? Not just because he doesn't really look that much like the character, mm-hmm. but he performed it really well. So, I'm like, well, maybe he's just a great actor. And if he's a great actor, maybe he can just perform Bruce Wayne. You know,
I think he was a good Superman because Superman's kind of plain Jane, and so is Ben Affleck. Just gonna say it.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not gonna shit on him until I get a snippet of what it
was. There was a really great headline over at Bleeding Cool recently in light of this, which read: Warner Bros. Receive 500,000 complaints over casting of Batman. Click on the article, and it says, well. In 1988 and 1989, they did.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I was just about to say, what, are we talking about Michael Keaton when they cast Michael Keaton?
Yes.
Oh, you mean Mr. Mom is going to play the Dark Knight? What the fuck, Warner Brothers? So I'm like, dude, who cares? Like, I remember being a little weirded out.
I think that just the fact is that Ben Affleck played Daredevil, and Daredevil and Batman are kind of similar characters in a lot of ways. And
I think
there were bigger problems with that movie.
Choice.
People praise Bale, but I'm not really... I still think Keaton was the better of the two Batman.
Honestly, I think the best choice that they made was George Clooney as the Bruce Wayne character. I think that's the best choice.
I disagree.
I disagree. Yeah.
I think George Clooney in if you put George Clooney in the newer Batman movies or in the Keaton Batman movies, I think they'd be better as a result.
I think Michael Keaton was the best Bruce Wayne, maybe the best Batman. And for the longest time, I used to say Val Kilmer was the best Batman, but not the best Bruce Wayne. Because he had a different presence in the suit.
He did have a different presence in the suit.
I feel like Clooney was the best Batman if you were talking about reimagining a modern version of the Adam West Batman.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, if you're going that way. Yeah.
But
yeah.
That to me is what he represented, which makes it really out of place, despite right. the fact that as a kid, I just didn't reckon. I just, you know, I didn't want that movie. And yeah, I still don't want that movie. But I understand now what Schumacher was trying to do. And it was kind of brilliant. But I still don't want it.
Right. So, no, I don't want the Schumacher one. But see, when I heard that George Clooney was going to play him, I'm thinking of George Clooney, Three Kings, you know what I mean? Or I mean, like later, Syriana, you know, and I think this could be fantastic. Like this could be the best, possibly the best Bruce Wayne ever. And that was not the movie they wrote. So I don't know. It could go either way.
So, but everyone's like, well, Ben Affleck was a shitty Daredevil. I'm like, so you're going to blame the entire movie on an actor? Oh, yeah. Like, as if Ben Affleck was the weakest link of that.
It had bigger problems.
Film.
But I mean, the fact is, I've seen a fair amount of movies with Ben Affleck in it, and it's just whatever.
He's very white bread. I'll give that to him. However, have you seen Boiler Room?
I have not.
He plays a cocky asshole in that movie who's the CEO of
Steals the movie.
Yeah, he steals the movie in two scenes. And he's really good in it. But he was very young when it happened. So you're like, this guy's too young to play Batman. It's not really, you know, it's not going to work. But if you think that guy with that voice in the bearded, darker version that we saw in Argo, like that could be a powerful Bruce.
But also,
Wayne.
What version of Batman are they going for? They're mixing him in with Superman.
Zack Snyder actually said that it's Dark Knight Returns style Bruce Wayne and Batman. Not necessarily that story, but that is the particular Bruce Wayne Batman they're looking for.
So that's weird. Like the super gruff and super aggro version of Batman?
Kevin Smith runs a podcast all about Batman. He and Ben Affleck are like best friends. It would be a terrible summer blockbuster, but I would love to see a Kevin Smith Batman Superman movie. more than anything.
More than the Zack Snyder one, I'll give you that.
No action whatsoever. They just sit around and talk. Like, that would be the funniest thing.
Like the Super
thing.
Cafe on How It Should Have Ended. Exactly, just like where it's just the two of them sitting in a cafe being like, you know why? Because I'm Batman.
I was like, you got underwear outside of your pants. I don't know what you're doing. And he's like, well, you know, this Kryptonian armor is how it's made. He's like,
that's stupid.
He's like, it looks stupid. He's like, well, I don't even wear underwear because it doesn't get hot enough on this planet for me to sweat, you know? And he'd be like, well, did it get hot enough on Krypton? And he'd be like, I don't know. I wasn't alive then. I bet it did. And I bet the only reason you're dressed like that is because your people's balls sweat too much. Like, that would be a great movie. So if Kryptonite makes you a mortal man, just a regular mortal, that means that, like, you're just a really shitty guy, right? Because every time that you hit with Krypton, you can't even stand up. So, like, you don't know how to walk on our planet. You're really bad at even, like, pretending to be a human.
It's like, you got a lot of lip on you.
Yeah, because I'm Batman.
So Batman Superman, it comes out July 17th, 2015. Allegedly, it's going to start shooting early next year. And it's still got the supporting cast of Amy Adams, Lawrence Fishburne, and Diane Lane. And I still don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And many moons ago, Ben Affleck had been in talks about a Justice League movie. This was like pre-Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Like to direct it. Now, if there's the potential of him directing himself as Batman in a Justice League movie, I don't know how that changes opinions, if that's actually going to happen.
I think Affleck has proven himself as a director more than anything. If you have to give him any allowances, even if you hate him, you have to go, well, he makes good movies.
I don't like saying mean things about him, but I don't like him as an actor.
That's fair.
But I love him as a director. He's such a good director.
He's really good. And a writer too. He co-wrote
Good Will Hunting,
and that's a phenomenally written movie. I thought he was okay in it too.
to me, saying Ben Affleck is Batman is not the worst news.
Zack Snyder is worse news for me.
Yeah, for me it was.
Absolutely.
I mean, even if they just said, oh, it's Ben Affleck and we're keeping Henry Cavill and we're keeping the rest of the cast, but we're getting someone else to direct, like, I don't know. Even if Ben Affleck was directing it and he was directing himself as Batman, I'd be like, okay, well, I'm automatically more interested in seeing it.
Completely forgot that I wanted to ask about how you guys felt about there being two Quicksilvers right after one another.
Wait, what?
Yeah, because we're getting one in Avengers 2 and we're getting one in Days of Future Past.
Are you fucking shitting me?
No, like that was Whedon confirmed that, like, I think at Comic-Con.
I mean, I knew that Quicksilver was going to be in it, but I didn't realize that he was in Avengers, but I didn't realize he was a part of Future Past. And that's fucking stupid, guys. That's fucking stupid.
It's bad news. Well, I mean, they're both, Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, Magneto's children, but he's way more important in the Avengers. There's like nothing that even comes close.
Hmm.
I mean, honestly, Quicksilver is probably the least important of classic Avenger.
Right.
But I'm more worried about Scarlet Witch.
Now, if you were one of the filmmakers, let's say, I guess obviously Avengers comes out second. Would you want to try to honor the betrayal in Days of Future Past in order to make it seem like they could fit? Like, would that concern you, or do you want to do your own thing?
I think, you know what? I think I would probably want to talk to them and at least exchange notes.
Yeah, because you don't want the films to complicate each other. That's bad for everybody.
Because look at it this way. I know movie studios don't think this way, but if you reached out and said, I'm not saying work together and we both make the same film, but if we both acknowledge it and we both leave an open space there for the audience to interpret with how they want, we both can win. Like, we can both make a shit ton of money and not have to worry about, well, people being confused and who's the real thing and what's with this or whatever.
But if we're talking about, like, moves to make as filmmakers, I tell you what I wouldn't have done. If I was going to include any mutants in the Avengers, despite their storied legacy, it sure as hell wouldn't have been Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. I would not have in a million years put that in the Avengers film. I would have tried something more current, something more familiar. Because the fact is that, I mean, Wanda Maximoff, I think she's a really cool character, but Scarlet Witch is complicated and
very complicated.
I mean, I would have left out mutants entirely, because if Fox is going to hold on to the X-Men and everything else, let that sort of feel like its own universe that maybe someday in the future can cross over.
It's true.
But if you're going to be like, you may as well just be like, well, hey, we got Quicksilver, why not get Wolverine in here?
I completely agree with you. If I go, you know what, let's just leave Scarlet Witch out of this equation, because this bridges into the X-Men, like, heavily, especially way later with M-Day and stuff. But if you leave her off, there's no reason to have Quicksilver in it.
Yeah, I'd be more interested in, like, I think that mutants are an interesting factor to have in the Avengers, but I definitely wouldn't do those two. Mm-mm. They're just too complicated. You know, that said, we should probably wrap this guy up.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to give some shout-outs to some very kind and wonderful people. Nerdy Show is a listener-supported podcast and a listener-supported podcast network, and we can't put out all these wonderful shows that we put out practically every day of the week without you guys helping us. And in fact, this month, as we record this, we're dangerously shy of making our monthly goal this month. So if you can, please chip in anything. And, you know, as always, you'll get cool stuff in your email. Different perks, adding them on every month. So we got to give a shout out to James Hickson, who donated to us, and Benjamin Britt, who supported us, saying, throws pocket change with great force, ballistic charity. So yes, please contribute to Nerdy Show. You make us possible. It pays our bills and make sure we can keep doing these recordings and such.
Unlimited content forever.
Yes, yeah. Unlimited content forever, so long as we make our goals. Before we go, a little something from Matt, a thought that he had shortly after we concluded recording this episode. He says, I've been thinking long and hard about this Scarlet Witch Quicksilver issue and the sudden insertion of mutants into the Avengers cinematic universe. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. Actually, I saw a poster at a bus stop. That's the responsibility of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. A whole season of a hit new show, and let's be honest, it'll be big, to introduce them. From the first press release, quote, a team of agents to tackle these cases that haven't been classified yet, the new, the strange, and the unknown. Boom. Mutants. They can't contractually say mutants ever. If Whedon just says that they're the results of more serum/gamma experimentation, that'd suck. But if mutant introduction in S.H.I.E.L.D. is the case, I admire Marvel and Disney's commitment to cross-media pollination. I think Matt's on to something. The trailers for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have just suggested this sort of blanket, fundamental, people with powers kind of idea, which does bring to mind, well, who are people who randomly have powers? Why, they be mutants, son. And, of course, the question has always been in the Marvel Universe, what's the difference between a mutant and just anybody with superpowers? Of course, the answer is a bunch of social and genetic drama and politics. But we'll see where they go with it. I hope Matt's right, and I'm interested to see what exactly happens with the mutant agenda in the Marvel Avengers universe. Anyway, that'll be our concluding thought for the day. Let us know what you think, actually, of all this stuff that we've been talking about and the shared universe nonsense and the Marvel experience. Head over to the Nerdy Show forums or hit us up on Facebook, start a discussion/quarrel with us. And as far as more Nerdy Show news, this just in, you guys may have listened to our Giant Monsters and Their Natural Enemies Nerdy Show Prime episode. Way back when, we were trying desperately to get Travis Beecham, the writer for Pacific Rim, on the show. And, well, he's finally going to be on the show. We've got a date with him, and hopefully nothing will go horribly wrong, but but coming soon, an interview with Travis Beecham, writer of Pacific Rim. If you guys have any questions for him, hit us up on the Nerdy Show forums and let us know what you want to know about Pacific Rim. The film, the universe, all that jazz.
That's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. And if you're feeling an empty place in your heart while Dungeons and Doritos is still on hiatus, and yes, we are coming back. We just got to finalize some stuff. There's some information about that on the forums. There's another role-playing podcast coming out from Nerdy Show that might interest you. Wicked Anime is doing a role-playing podcast special for Big Eyes, Small Mouth, the anime tabletop role-playing system. I just listened to part one. It's great. Part two is coming out in a couple weeks. So if you want some more podcasting from Nerdy Show, definitely check that out. Thanks so much for listening. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Josh.
Bye, I'm Doug.
Bye, I'm Matt.
The track taking us out is some new Kabuto the Python. He's just put out a release called The Almighty with a lot of amazing collabs. And this is a track called Sequential Art.
Yo, this song is about webcomics, the reading thereof, and the readers thereof. That's what's up. Lego. I used to read Control-Alt-Delete. Yeah, I know, but I was 13 or so, and yo, I thought it was sweet. And I was awkward and meek, into those comics for geeks. Put in a Star Wars reference and I'm probably peaked. Yo, a Red Penny arcade, isn't it lame? I used to only read the ones about the video games. I wasn't spitting no game, probably don't need to explain, because I get the feeling some of y'all done did it the same. I used to read Sluggy Freelance as a kid, ripping Tolkien Alien Bun Bun with a shit. That was what back in Art 1 or Art 2. It was I, if you wanna read Sluggy, you ought to. Furries had better days, incest and Ayn Rand, and two kinds of fan base, never thought it kinda bland. I ain't fucked with all that, but lackadaisy cats is still my shit. All three fingers smack a hater. Support your favorite webcomic, else they ain't eating. White Ninja, Dr. McNinja, stay sneaking. Problem sleuth, Homestuck, Gun Show, way decent. Bussin' memorable big ups to Kate Beaton. AON's Tom Sedell, gonna put more shit for sale. Dresden Kodak, Octopus Pie, the Chip of Rail. Topato Co. and all of the strips that it entails. Wonderella, Akewood, Digger, and other tales. In high school, I was all about the dinosaur comics, because the dinosaurs were dope and the writing was flawless. T-Rex was bout as stomping mad anachronisms, but he'd always get his shit shut down by raptor wisdom. No beef, but though I never messed with any Clark Kent, I'd hop up on Safari for some questionable content. I read it for a year before it lost its interest to me. Honestly, I think I started cause I thought there would be boobies. Overcompensating, course Wiegu was my boy. I loved the little yellow thingy who was made out of poison. They sold him as a toy, son crass, it's debatable. They got 100 comic shirts for sale up on Topato Co. Perry Bible Fellowship was doper than most. I remember when it used to update with multiple posts. And I read some underground shit, thinking Lincoln mad sick. Wonder Mark, Demon Guardians, and Reaper Graphics. Support your favorite webcomic, else they ain't eating. White Ninja, Dr. McNinja, stay sneaking. Problem Sleuth, Homestuck, Gun Show, way decent. Wasn't memorable, big ups to Kate Beaton. AON's Tom Sedell, gonna put more shit for sale. Dresden Kodak, Octopus Pie, the Chip of Rail. Topato Co. and all of the strips that it entails. Wonderella, Akewood, Digger, and other tales.
This song is dedicated
to Scott McCloud. Thank you for all you have done on behalf of internet comics. People keep saying your books are great. I would read them, but they're boring. Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is made possible by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, the generous support of sexy listeners like you. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, making a contribution to our monthly support drive, or just making sweet, sweet love. Any extra-sized contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images.
Oh.
And lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in.
Oh.
For more episodes of Nerdy Show, as well as other fine, fine programming, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store. And for the latest news, follow us on all of your favorite sexy social networks.